Hey yo, and here we go, another episode of We Talk Music on the air and in your ear. Once again, I am Martin, joined by the king of the casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. And Brett, you know your job. Please please tell everybody who's joining us today.
That's right. Well, it's awesome because we have a multi-instrumentalist. We've got a new song out. It's called Lost. We have Dez Money. Dez, how are you?
Hey guys, how you doing? Thanks so much for having me.
Well, happy to have you on the show and to talk about the song and just talk about your career so far. I mean, talk about a long career in music for someone still so young.
Yeah, I was very fortunate to have just such a great family, and my family's always very involved with music. So ever since I was a little kid, I remember just being maybe 3 years old, and my dad would have us on stage, and I would actually just introduce my dad right from when I was just a little kid. So he always tried to have us a part of the show, and we just had so much fun on tour as a family and everything like that. So,
and of course, you've got the new song Lost out, and so you're going to be releasing some singles and then into a new album in the summer. Tell us about the writing of Lost and just how it all came about.
So when I was writing Lost, each song I kind of approach it in a different way. So sometimes it'll start with like a melody that comes in my head, or it could start from lyrics that I think about. But with this one, I was on a synthesizer, kind of just messing around with some sounds, and the sound itself was sort of mysterious to me. So within that sound, I kind of just wrote the theme to it. And so, I just wrote the title of it. And ever since from that, I was able to kind of just write around a theme, which was a lot of fun for me because I don't always write to a theme. So with this one, I was kind of thinking like a Castaway kind of, Tom Hanks Castaway kind of vibe. And I had a lot of fun with it because when I first started writing it, it was when quarantine first started. So I think everybody was kind of on their own desert island at first, and we're all just trying to connect in whatever way we could. But yeah, that song was kind of about that vibe, is us trying to just reach out to each other as much as we can. So
I also read that you wanted to play all the instruments on this and really do it all yourself. Like, how important was it to you to kind of put out an album that was just you?
Well, that's just kind of how I just got used to doing things, because I was always just so involved with the music. And when I was doing my first album, I was always in the studio. And so I learned so much just from, being surrounded by music. So I was always, with every instrument, I just kind of hear it out. It doesn't have to be some really complicated part. The way I see it is, as long as everything kind of fits together like a puzzle, like a sonic puzzle. And I just try to make sure everything just connects together. So I've had a lot of fun just doing it by myself. And yeah, I'm very lucky to have been involved with music for so long. So I've been playing all these instruments for a really long time.
Do you have any other songs that kind of have such a high concept? I mean, it is really an interesting concept for a song.
Each song, I wanted this album in particular to kind of be more cinematic than some of my previous stuff. And so this one, it was cool that I started with the theme because I was able to kind of introduce this. It's the opening track to this next album. So it kind of introduces the listener into my new world. And I found it really interesting to just start it like that. And because it really adds to the flow of the whole album.
What other kind of themes then are you looking at for the album?
It kind of goes all over the place, honestly. But because when I wrote the album, I was going through a lot because my dad had been sick when I first started writing the album. So I was already kind of going through a lot, and then quarantine hit. So there's a bunch of themes throughout, like themes of loss, themes of love, themes of, just trying to be there for each other during hard times. And, just that kind of stuff. And because I found, even though I was going through a lot, that there's also a lot of other people that are going through a lot too. So I try to make sure I can be there for people in my music as much as I can.
When you're writing a song, what instrument do you start writing it with?
It really changes up. Sometimes it could start, like I was saying, with just a simple melody. I could just be in the car and a melody could come to my head. So I'll, you know, make sure I track it down in my voice memos or something. Or I could just be on the guitar or the piano. Or like with Lost, I was saying, I started off on the synth. And I don't know, I kind of just let each song kind of create itself in that sense. And I just let the process kind of just take over. Sometimes I just won't like sleep until I get a lot of the ideas out, because, you know, ideas will just keep coming to me and I don't want to sleep until I finish what I started a lot of the times.
How many instruments in total do you play?
I started off on the drums, and then I moved on to piano, guitar, bass, and then I guess synthesizer, I guess, counts as its own thing. But yeah, I guess it's about 5 instruments.
Do you have them kind of scattered everywhere, and do you just can find inspiration at any point in time? You just run to an instrument and start going at it?
Yeah, exactly. That's how I look at it, is I kind of let the instruments kind of speak to me and just try to follow through with whatever I'm hearing at the time. So that's what's so cool about knowing how to play all these different instruments, is I can really piece everything together. And I can like see it through it. I got a vision for each song, so I can hear something and then be able to create what I can hear in my head, which was always something I tried to, you know, make it a goal to just be able to do that. So I'm really happy that I was able to learn how to produce, so I can really show the listener exactly what I'm listening to in my head when I'm creating the songs.
You had said you learned to produce. So how did you learn to produce?
Oh, I've been producing probably, I think, for the last, like, 10 years or so. I actually started off, I had a class in school. It was, like, a Pro Tools class. And so I was fortunate enough to be able to, like, just dip my toes into the production world. And I realized that it was a lot of fun. So I was able to track down all my ideas and everything. And that's really probably one of my favorite skills, is just learning how to produce. And 'cause that's when I was able to really start making all my songs. That's when I like started taking over as the main producer.
What about producing other people? Do you learn and bring what you learn working with other people back into your own music?
I haven't produced too much for other people, but I mean, from some of the other songs I've actually produced that my dad had ended up singing on, which I was really happy about. And then my sister as well, I produce for her. So, but that's as far as I know for producing with them. It's just, it comes really naturally because, you know, they're family. So I just kind of know where they're going in the songs. But yeah, I would love to definitely get the chance to produce for others in the future. But for some reason, every time I produce a song, I just kind of keep it to myself a lot of the times and, you know, just add it on to my library of songs.
Do you kind of, is there something that you identify as? Do you identify as, say, a songwriter or a singer or a, you know, guitarist or one particular thing? Or do you kind of not want to label yourself that way?
I just try to do it all as much to my best ability. So I guess a singer, songwriter, producer, musician, whatever they want to call me, as long as, you know, I just try to do it the best I can for each song and whatever I can do to be a part of it. I could be the drummer, I could be the singer, bass player, whatever they need. So
I guess ideally, as long as the music is getting heard.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what it's all about for me, is whatever I can do to make the song the best I can make it.
So what about the music video for Lost? Do you have, is that your concept? Do you work with somebody on it? It's pretty cool actually what you did to kind of get the message of the song across and the theme.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, I my sister helps me film the videos and I got a couple of friends that help out and we just kind of did it all in-house. And that's the way that I've really, my first couple of music videos, I had other people do it, and I've learned so much through just behind the scenes and stuff like that, because we also had the TV show. So I just decided to, you know, take it on myself, and I had a lot of fun. It was definitely a huge learning curve, but I had a lot of fun, and with that video, actually, we just kind of did it spur of the moment. And for example, the sky, like, it was kind of the cotton candy colored sky in the background. And I was like, we were driving down to Malibu, and I told my friend, hey, pull over. This looks really cool. We should just shoot right here. And just everything was kind of just spur of the moment. And in the editing is when I started to kind of tell the story a little more. And I tried to make it kind of look like a lost VHS tape or something like that. But, yeah, it was a blast making that video. And the next one I'm really excited for too.
What is the next one?
So, the next one we'll be releasing, I think in a month, but yeah, this one's, it's called Trippin', and we kind of make it to where it's like this Beatles type theme, where I want to go for like a Yellow Submarine kind of vibe with the animation and all that. So we had a lot of fun with that one as well. Same crew.
Do you kind of see a story or you know, a music video? Does it kind of play across in your head as you're creating the song?
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, with some songs, I kind of go back and forth on which concepts to do. And we've just been, you know, having so much fun just learning more and more with each music video that I make. I just learn more. And so, yeah, it's just the themes and everything kind of, they come to me, but sometimes, you know, it changes up depending on the songs and everything. So
when you're creating your music, do you wind up, you know, kind of sharing it with your family because so many of them are musical, like your sister and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, I show Jess, but yeah, I don't show too many people, actually. I show Jess because she's in the band, and then she'll sing the song with me. But I don't really show my mom until it's, like, perfect and everything. And a lot of times I don't really want to show anybody until it's perfect. But, yeah, I kind of just keep it under wraps for the most part.
Are you kind of hard on yourself, do you think, to achieve perfection?
I just think that, you know, the first time somebody hears a song, you just want it to be the version that the best version it can be, because, you know, they may not react the way that you want them to react if it's not, you know, mixed properly or if it's not exactly the way you want it. I just want it to hit as hard as it can hit them, like, the first time they hear it, because, you know, the first impression is the most important. So
you talk about, of course, the TV show, and, you know, how difficult was it to kind of have your life illustrated in a TV show?
Oh, it was definitely, at first, we had to get used to it, because, you know, every morning at about 9 a.m., there would be these people with these cameras in the house, and they were all really nice, but, I mean, still, it was kind of, you know, it felt a little invasive, but as time went on, we realized that the network was, you know, they had our best intentions, it was kind of, we got used to it, and so we ended up actually really enjoying it. But at first, I was not really feeling it at first. But as by the time the second season came around, we were used to it, and we started having more fun with it. And yeah, I'm actually looking back at it, I'm really glad we did the show.
You know, I'm glad you did the show too, because it documents your dad in a way that we'd never seen as fans before. And that's so valuable, especially now.
Yeah, definitely. He definitely was really funny. I think a lot of people, unless they saw him in concert, they wouldn't have caught that side to him. So I'm glad we were able to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Was there a family vote? Sorry. Was there a family vote on that? Like, okay, you guys want to do this, or were you just told, we're doing this, get ready?
Yeah, we were in talks to do it for a while, and we had met with different networks. So it took a while to get the show, because we wanted to do it the right way. And certain networks, you know, they were used to doing reality TV a certain way, where they were just looking for drama and trying to kind of fabricate things. And we didn't want to do it that way. We wanted to show them who we are, not, you know, do any of that fake kind of stuff. So we did it the right way, and I was really happy with the fact that we went with Access TV with that one.
How difficult was it to kind of deal with your dad's illness during the second season?
Oh, that was, I mean, it was just so hard to deal with, for sure. And just the fact that the camera's there, it definitely made it kind of weird. for sure. But I think that looking back at it, I think, you know, when people watch that, and if they're going through the same things, it'll help them out as well. So I'm glad we did that as just to, you know, show his fans how strong he was and that he was always there for his fans and stuff. Because the fact that he was performing and going out and still playing shows every single weekend just was a testament to his hard work and how much he loved his fans and how much he loved music, really.
You grew up in that, but, like, how important is it, too, to have, you know, the support of your parents, you know, especially embarking within the music industry?
Oh, definitely. They taught me so much, especially when I first started playing live. I wasn't opening it for my dad when we first started. So we were just doing the local shows. And once we got on tour with my dad, there's just so much more that we learned because, you know, he taught us the ropes of being on the road and how to deal with certain fans. Like, you know, when you get a heckler or something like that, how to just let it roll off your back. And yeah, it was some of that stuff was just like very invaluable. And I wouldn't have been able to learn it if I wasn't on tour with my dad. And then my mom was always taking care of my dad's business side of things. So she taught me the ins and outs of all that as well. So I was very blessed to have my family involved with the business.
Do you feel any pressure to keep up the legacy of the family name?
I guess it would be kind of a pressure, but I'm kind of just so used to music that it's really just something that I've always been surrounded by it. So it's just something that I just do and I just love to do it. So it's really pressure I put on myself just to be the best I can be. But as far as like other people's pressure on me, I don't really care too much about other people's expectations of me.
Nice. Perfect. That is the right answer, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
How about having such a musical family, having your brothers and sisters also be so musical? Does that make it easier just kind of to share the family name and know you can count on each other and musically both as well as, you know, in life?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, like my sister was always one of my biggest influences for sure in music, and I was always kind of shy about singing. I started off on the drums, and I didn't show my dad that I sang until I showed him my first song that I made, maybe around 18 or 19. And Jess was always there to just, you know, hype me up. And you know, when we played live, I was kind of the more quiet, kind of shy, you know, lead singer type. But she was also singing with me. She was kind of the more extroverted type. And she would always get the crowd going and stuff like that. So it's great to have family involved. And then my little brother's on drums, and he's just, you know, he kills it every single time on stage. And he's one of the best drummers I've seen. So the way that we all play together is very, you know, we have this natural connection when we play live. And yeah, it's great.
You know, your sister certainly seems like the extrovert on the show. Did it properly capture your personalities? I mean, I know so many people, they complain about, well, in the edit room, they changed it, and that's not how we really are. Did you guys have control over that?
We didn't really have control over the editing. So that was one thing where, even if it wasn't something bad that you'd say, like, for example, I would just be like, oh, man, I hope it didn't sound stupid or something, but later on in the editing, I think they did a good job of trying not to make us look bad. I think they did a good job of making us appear how we were, because we're just kind of a funny family, and every family's got their, you know, quirks and stuff like that. So I think they did a great job of capturing all of that.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, when you consider it, like, and talk about the idea of having a show like that, do you ever worry that it could overshadow your singing career?
It was always just something that we wanted to do. Like, it was kind of a hand in hand kind of thing. And the way that the show was set up was just kind of, it's great that it got to give people the background to who I am. And it showed them how serious we are. Cause I feel like a lot of times when people hear about, you know, a rock star's kids, they want to be musicians too. They think it's kind of like an easy road to go down, but we showed them that, you know, we work really hard, and, you know, even though we've had so much, so many great teachers, and we've had such, you know, a blessed life, we still had to work really hard and to be able to try to be as great as we can be, like my dad was.
So how do you see yourself having grown as a musician over the last couple of years, given, life's lessons that you've learned?
I just found myself kind of writing a little differently, and I started writing towards, the thing, like I was saying before, I just try to be there for people more in the music and just try to let people know, like, hey, we're in this together. And if I can help people through my music, then that became more important to me. It was just trying to help people through my music. So, yeah, little things like that. And I just, we haven't played live in so long, but I just made so many songs in the last couple of years. So when we do start playing live, there's going to be a lot of songs.
When, I'm interested in your fan base. Like, how much would you say your fan base is, like, kind of started out as your dad's but really became yours? And how much have you kind of, do you think, grown your own fan base?
Oh, it's really cool because I can check, the age range of people listening to the music. And it's pretty interesting, it goes from all ages, really, and I'm really happy about that because my dad's fans are just so awesome. And I was I was wondering how they would react to Lost because I started off as more of a rock musician, but now I'm kind of expanding my horizons and trying to do different types of music. But my dad's fans were very cool about Lost, and they're super open to just listening to new music, and they're just they're really received my songs really well, which I'm really happy about.
Is there a desire to perform some of your dad's music during your shows now?
Oh, definitely. Me and my sister have been talking about that for sure, especially after we did the tribute show. We did a couple songs for my dad's tribute show. So after that, we kind of felt like we needed to carry it on because he has so many great songs. And they were really fun to play live because I was on guitar for my dad's band. And I would open up before we would play his show. And honestly, I think I had a little bit more fun playing in his band than playing in my... I would rather have been a guitar player in his band than be the singer in my band. It was just fun. Yeah, just because it was a family thing. I felt like, it was just, what we were meant to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So cool you guys can lean on each other musically that way. I'm really looking forward to the new album because your music has this kind of dreamlike quality. I don't know how you kind of achieve it, but all your albums, even though there is a progression and difference between, obviously even Lost, we can hear it from the last album, which was only in 2020, but, in the first album, there's a progression, but I think that's one thing that's you've maintained is this dreamlike kind of feeling that your listener achieves. Aware of that? Have you ever heard that before?
I haven't heard that before. That's a really cool compliment. Thanks so much. That's really cool. For me, I just get so into the song, so I try to tell a story in all the songs, and I'm just glad that you could receive it that way. That's really cool.
Yeah, because kind of just close your eyes and drift off into the dreamland there, enjoy the journey. That's the type of thing. I have to say, actually, my favorite song you've done yet so far though was on your first album. That was Let's Get Out of Here. I really dug that song.
Oh, right on. Yeah, that was actually one of my dad's favorites. So we would always, because my sister was on that as well, and so we would always play that song when we opened up for my dad, because that was my, and for the first album, that was one of my more up-tempo songs, and so I had to play more of my more up-tempo songs to kind of keep up with my dad's band. And that's the one me and my sister always played as our last song. And it was fun. Yeah, because Let's Get Out of Here. So it was kind of like getting the crowd ready to go. But
it's
so
really cool. Really cool. Is it, do you still have, I'm sure you've knew the members of his band for many years. Do you still keep up relationships with them and play with them? Is that the plan?
I haven't been able to see them in a while, but yeah, we still talk, we love them. They're family. My dad's band has always been family. So, and they taught me so much throughout the years, and, we'll see, whenever shows start coming back, right now, everything's still up in the air with all of that, but yeah, I would love to play another show with them again. That'd be cool.
And was it hard to wind up, I guess, like being the opening act and then just getting right back out on stage with your dad?
Oh, I loved it. It was really, the hardest part was the traveling and getting on the airplanes and stuff. But once we got on stage, it was all worth it. I mean, the time just kind of flies by once you're on stage. So I loved it.
Do you have like a preparation that you do before you go on stage? Like, do you warm up your voice a little bit? You know, like how much do you practice the guitar or whatever?
Not really. I just kind of, when I first started playing shows, maybe the first couple shows, I would get kind of nervous and that would, but once you, I think it was like something happened with one of the first shows where there was like some technical difficulty issue and we kind of got thrown into the fire right off the bat where it was like the worst thing already happened at our first or second show. So, and I think it was a hometown show too. So all my friends and family were there and I think the mic went out and there was like a bunch of feedback in our first song. So that was really like the worst thing I could have imagined like possibly happening. It happened. So we got used to that. And, you know, after that, everything was, you know, I learned that, you know, can't get much worse than that. So now when I go on stage, I just kind of just walk up on stage and I don't know, it's really not a big deal to me anymore. But at first I used to, you know, be kind of doing a lot of rehearsals in my head and trying to like go over everything before the show. But yeah, now I just kind of just walk up on stage and just let it happen.
Is it difficult to kind of create a set list for yourself? Do you feel like, oh, I know this song, I really want to put this here, or I want to do this one? Because now, I mean, you've got almost 3 albums. So by the time you're able to get out, you know, are you working on that set list?
Well, yeah, that's definitely going to be something that is going to be a trial and error kind of thing. I've learned through, you know, through touring with my dad that there's a certain momentum that you want to have when you're playing live. For example, you don't want to start off with a ballad or something. You want to start off with a good up-tempo song to get the people going. But just little things like that I've learned. And now that I have so many songs, I think I'm just going to do some local shows at first and really test out the waters and see which songs go over well.
So where are your favorite places to play then?
Some of my favorite places to play when we were on tour was DTE, Pine Knob. That was always like, Detroit has always loved my dad, you know, because Detroit Rock City and everything like that. So I've always loved playing there. BB King's has always been cool. I don't know, just all over the place. And Vegas was always nice. One time we played this show, I can't remember, it was like iHeartRadio 80s night. And the stage was turning around, so that was kind of cool to be on a revolving stage like that. So that was in, I can't remember, I think that was in San Jose. But yeah, there's just been so many shows we've played that was just such a great experience just to have with my dad's band and everything like that.
What's the largest show you've played in front of, or largest crowd?
Probably that iHeart show. I can't remember exactly how many people were there, but that was a big one. But yeah, there's been so many shows we played. DTE was always a big one too. I think that was always one of his biggest shows of the year. But yeah, I don't know exactly how many people, but it was a lot.
So who are the people that you listen to yourself? I mean, just like if you're choosing to listen to music, it's just like, who would you call your influences besides your dad?
I listen to just all different types of music. So that's why my music's kind of, I'm starting to show my different sides that I've had. But I grew up listening to, like, the first album I got, my dad gave me Jimi Hendrix album. And, you know, I've always just kind of always been involved with rock. So Jimi Hendrix is one of my favorites. The Beatles, obviously. Led Zeppelin. Radiohead. You know, just, I grew up to, like, a lot of 70s and 90s music and stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely a lot of those were a lot of my favorites. My parents were, I think their favorite bands were like Led Zeppelin, the Beatles, and they named a lot of us after Beatles songs. And my middle name's Lennon, actually. So, yeah, we're just huge Beatles fans. Pink Floyd, definitely another one of my favorites. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. It's always amazing when we do the interviews, like the Beatles, they seem to come up a lot for some reason, and I can't figure out why. Gee.
Yeah, they're just such great songwriters. It was every song they did was amazing. It was, you know. So, yeah, we love them.
Are you guys all still living together? Is the family?
Oh yeah.
The show? Yeah.
Yeah. We're still here. We actually expanded on to the studio, so now we've just been working a little bit more out here and getting ready to hopefully get some more shows and get back out there.
And on the next album, is your family members are obviously they're playing roles in it?
A little bit. For the most part in the studio, I try to do everything by myself. So when there's drums on the songs, it's me playing the drums. And for the most part, I'm doing all the backgrounds, but sometimes Jess will make a feature. But yeah, we're really working on getting Jess her music as well. So I'm excited for that as well.
What kind of music is she going to do style-wise?
She's kind of like me, where she's kind of all over the place. So, yeah, you could expect to hear really all sorts of different things. Right now we're kind of working on this one song. It's kind of like a Sade kind of vibe. And but then she's also got some other stuff with kind of like Southern rock kind of vibes. And she's kind of all over the place because she's got so many different ways she can use her voice. So I think there's a lot of cool things we can do.
Nice that you don't feel like you have to be tied to one genre and that you can, you know, kind of experiment and your fans will come with you for the ride.
Yeah, that's nice. That's what I was saying with my dad's fans. At first I was kind of like wondering how they would think about it because it's not a rock song or anything like that, but they just connected with the lyrics and the vibe of it. So I think, you know, that as long as they like the music, then we're good to go.
Does how about your own voice? Are you pleased with your own voice? You said you didn't want to sing at first. Do you have a vocal coach or anything like that? How do you feel about your own singing at this stage of your career?
I never had a vocal coach. I was always just kind of like, it's something that I felt. I always kind of knew I had a singing voice, but I wasn't really that at first. Obviously I wasn't as good as I am now. It took some, took years of like, you know, it's like you're training a muscle. So, but as the years went on, I've learned how to use my voice better and I'm pretty happy with it. I've kind of, you know, I know my limits now and I know my, you know, my style a little bit more than I did before. So I can, I kind of know exactly, you know, how to hit certain notes and stuff like that, which has helped me a lot because there's a lot of different ways you can hit a note, you know? So I've gone over all those ways and try to approach it to my best ability just based on my past experience.
There's one note you hit it every time in the chorus of Lost, and I'm like, how does he do that? And there's one note where you just kind of goes up and I'm like,
yeah,
whoa.
That's like certain times I ask myself, I'm like, well, should I hit it kind of a softer falsetto part or should I go full voice? Or so I'll ask that question to myself. And, you know, we'll try different ways, and whichever way sounds the best, we'll go with that way.
How do you kind of know when a song is done?
It just when it feels right. A lot of times I don't do the vocals at home. I'll, like, make the entire song, and I kind of set a little time limit for myself where I'll have a bunch of the song produced, and then I'll call my engineer. His name's Ty Stevens. I've done all my songs with him. And then I go to Ty's house where we do the vocals, and then... So I give myself kind of a time limit where the song might not even be done, but I'll text Ty. I'll be like, hey, Ty, I got a song for tomorrow. I'll see you at 10 a.m. And, you know, that'll give me a certain amount of time to finish the song, which that makes me work harder and makes me makes the ideas flow. That's just kind of my process, but I don't recommend it for everybody. Yeah, it helps with me.
Yeah, I guess it's so important to find the way that you work best for yourself and then be able to just kind of, you know, keep adding to that process as opposed to trying to, you know, like say, force yourself into the way your dad would do it.
Right, yeah. And since like my studio is basically, it's just at home, so I don't have to pay for studio time. So it's really, I get to just relax with the song and... sometimes I could find myself getting too relaxed where I'll just kind of, the song might not come out or I might forget about it or something. So that's why giving myself a little time limit so that it pressures me to create the song and finish it. And then if I do the vocals, then if I hear something after that in my head that, oh, I should add a guitar part or add something like that, I'll add it later on. But for the most part, yeah, I try to get the song done in about like 48 hours.
How much time do you spend in the studio, like basically on a weekly basis?
I don't know, a long time. Really. I'm not sure. I'm always in the studio, really, even if I'm just hanging out, watching the Laker game or something like that. I'll be playing guitar or something like that. So it's a certain amount of hours every day, but it doesn't feel like really work to me or anything like that. It just kind of feels like I'm hanging out, really.
Would you say that you're probably more creative in the studio, or do you think that, you know, outside when you're wandering around and seeing things and seeing life occur around you, that those are the things where it's like, oh, you suddenly get something from that, and then you have to rush back to the studio?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, just certain things like that when you're just at the beach or something like that, and I'd be able to come to your head. The way that I always see it is like, if an idea knocks on your door, you better answer it, because you never know if you knock on the idea's door, they might not be there. We're like, I've seen people where they get in the studio and they're like, all right, time to write a song. But, it doesn't really happen like that with inspiration. So you gotta track down the inspirational moments and try to recreate it in the studio.
Do you have any theories on where inspiration comes from?
Oh, inspiration comes from all over, really. That's what's so great about music is you can really just, whatever gives you a certain feeling, you can kind of just ride off of that feeling and feel it out.
How many, like, voice memos do you think you wind up have you collected over this past year, especially?
Oh, it's like, over the past year, I'm not sure, but there's like thousands in there, but they're not all good, obviously. that's the important thing. Some people think that, you gotta have some bad ideas to get some good ideas, but as long as you're just tracking the ideas, you can turn the bad ideas into good ideas, and, you know, you can make something happen out of it.
So then over this past year, I guess, I mean, especially kind of being stuck inside more and that, like, how do you think you've been able to grow yourself as an artist?
Well, I think I've just had a little bit more time in the studio. I mean, I was already just like so submersed in the studio and really just, I was getting ready to release the album, but then quarantine hit. And so we were kind of just waiting and for the right time. And I've actually, I don't know if it was going to be a double album or like a trilogy thing, but I wrote so many songs, and it kind of just, I kept just making more songs of different genres and different sounds and everything, that I've learned how to just tie it all together and still make it me, which was the most important thing. Was, you know, sometimes when artists do a different genre, you can tell they're kind of trying to chase a certain sound. But with me, I just, it's all about just having fun with it and finding inspiration within the new sounds that I'm using, and, you know, just having fun with it.
How did you find the sequencing then of the album, given, you know, that there's so many different sounds?
That's something I'm still kind of working on, is like the track list, because a lot of the songs, they naturally flow really well into each other. So I'm just trying to figure out what the roller coaster is going to be like. So, yeah.
Did you learn any lessons on that from your previous two albums?
Yeah, definitely. I always just, the way I'll put together a track list is I'll kind of just I'll put it the way that I think in my head would be good. And if I'm listening to the full album and then, you know, there's a certain way that I just wanted to hear it differently, I'll just be kind of switching it up until I finally lock it in and I'm like, okay, this is a good flow. And, you know, I just move on from there.
Yeah, it must be. I mean, at least it's good that you're able to produce your own stuff, because, so what's it like to produce your own singing versus, I guess, your guitar playing or drumming?
Well, with the singing, it's a lot of fun, because I've found that when I've worked with other artists, sometimes they'll do like a million vocal takes. But with me, I try to just get the main vocal out in maybe two to three takes, sometimes just one take, just because, you know, it's, I like to capture like the raw emotion of the song, and I feel like sometimes people might sound like they're kind of over singing their parts. And then I just move on to the background vocals, which is really my favorite part, is that when we do background vocals, we stack as many harmonies as we can possibly think of. And then there's a lot going on with the background vocals. So that's a lot of fun for me, is doing the background vocals.
Well, that is one of my favorite parts of your music, is all the harmonies and that kind of thing, because I know that for myself, like, you know, harmony is so important in music, and like you talked about the Beatles before and stuff like that. I mean, it's just like, that's the vibe. Like, what a great sound when you can bring all those things together.
Thanks, man. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's like when people are listening to music, the first instrument they pick up on is the voice. So I always try to make sure that, you know, everything is really just solid, and try to make sure all the harmonies are there that I can possibly think of. But yeah.
Well, Des, I want to thank you for coming on the show. We really appreciate talking to you and just being able to break down some of your music. So we want to give you the chance right now to tell all the fans how they can keep up with you and how they can find all the new music.
Okay, cool. Yeah, if you want to follow me on Instagram or anything, it's called, it's at Des Money Music. And also, if you want to check out my website, go to desmoney.com. And yeah, we'll keep in touch.
That's great. Well, Des, you know, we're big fans of your music and absolutely looking forward to the new album. So thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it, and we wish you all the best in the future.
Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you very much. Have yourself a great day, and hell, a great 2021 from what's left.
That's right.
Thanks so much. Have a great 2021.
Thank you.
Yeah, we look forward to hopefully seeing you live sometime.
Yeah, that would be great. I can't wait.
yeah, for sure. Us too.
yeah. I haven't played a show in like 2 years, so it's can't wait to get back out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Too long. Thanks a lot, Des. Talk to you soon.
All right, have a good one.
All right, you
okay,
too.
Bye.
Bye now.
Is there anybody out there? I feel it getting colder. The days are getting longer. Out here all alone. Is there anybody out there? I'm having trouble breathing. My head is underwater. Help me stay afloat. Is there anybody out there? Is there anybody out there? I can see your signal burning through the sky, burning through the sky. I can see your shadow running through the night, step into the light. Is there anybody listening? Didn't get the memo. Thought I heard an echo calling out my name. Is there anybody listening? Did you get the message? Sending SOSs all across the way. Is there anybody listening? Is there anybody listening? I can see your signal burning through the sky, burning through the sky. Yeah. I can see your shadow running through the night, step into the light. Is there anybody out there? Whoa. Is there anybody Whoa. Out there? Whoa. Is there anybody out there? Whoa. Is there anybody Whoa. Out there? Is there anybody out there? Whoa. Na, 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 na. Whoa. Whoa. Is there anybody out there? Whoa. Na, 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 na. Whoa. I can see your signal burning through the sky, burning through the sky. I can see your shadow running through the night, step into the light. Is there anybody out there? All across the station, no communication on the radio. Is there anybody out there? This anticipation is getting escalated. Now I'm on my own. Is there anybody out there?